In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the irreducible minimum. I've been telling you the story of my making contact with two Stone Age women by the name of Mintaka and Mangkamo, members of the tribe who had killed five missionaries in 1956. They lived with me for a while in a Quechua house quite a long way from their own territory, and during that almost 1 year, I was trying to learn their language. And toward the end of the year, I had learned just barely enough to understand that they were inviting me to go back with them when they went home again, which was exactly what I had been hoping might happen. God was going to open a door to enable me to go in to live with this Stone Age tribe where no outsider had ever lived before and come back to tell the tale. I had made some tape recordings of their speech and sent them to Rachel Saint and Dayuma. Rachel had been studying the Alka language with Dayuma, a member of the tribe who had left her people long before. And so they had sent back some transcriptions of these tapes. And as we talked about my going back with them, this was what they were saying to me. On the way down to our houses, we'll sleep at the Anyangu River. Next day, we'll be on the trail still. On the third day, we'll arrive. Men, brothers, fathers, people like our own relatives will come to visit us here, I'll say to my people, said Mangkamo. Don't fear them. Build Gikari's house. Gikari was the name they had given to me. We'll bring her here. Make also a guest house and an airstrip. When she is here, her friends will come to sleep sometimes. Collect pets and animals from the jungle. These you will give them in exchange for their gifts. My people will say yes. When they come in the airplane, you'll see them. They'll take you for flights. I had rides in the plane. They will teach you God's words. You must listen and teach the children. Listen well. Hear them sing. It's good, that which they shall teach. We'll build our houses on the Lawano River on a nice open place. You and I will have houses side by side. I'll tell them to make a huge strip, cut down all the trees. Last night I dreamed I took some Quechua women down there and told my relatives to cut them some wood. If I don't go home soon, I won't be able to find my family. They will move far away. They will wait till now, for this is the season of kapok. If I don't arrive before it passes, they'll leave. They may be living in small houses separated throughout the forest. We would not be able to find their footprints. We ought to go while they are still together in one place. Then they will listen and say yes. I will say to my brother Dabu, remember how you cried when they killed the five foreigners? They were good men. You wished they had lived. The wife of one of them still lives. She is good. She will come here to live. You must spear fish for us. From now on, we will live happily. Things will be different. We won't cry anymore. I saw some chonda blossoms. This means that it's time to go home. A year is nearly up. My children will not do well if I don't go to see them. They will think I'm dead and do what they please. I'll make them all work, every one of them together, to build the house and airstrip. Believing in God, we'll live well. Lots of people we knew were believers, I'll tell them. You too must become a believing group. All of that is a transcription of the tape that Mangkamo had made explaining how we could go back and live with her people. Well, when I was beginning to plan what I was going to take with me, believing that I would have to carry everything on my back over a 3-day trail trip, you can imagine that I spent a good deal of time thinking of what was really necessary. Don't we have some strange ideas about what we need, about the irreducible minimum? Think of the contrasts in our civilization as compared with that of a jungle Indian. Wouldn't life be simpler without the enormously confusing conglomerations of options that we have? When I send my husband to the grocery store, I can't just say oatmeal on the list. If I do that, he is confronted with instant oatmeal, quick oatmeal, old-fashioned oatmeal, maple-flavored, cinnamon, Quaker, Irish, stone ground, natural, milled, etc., etc., not to mention different sizes. There's a whole aisle of cereal, and he stands there bewildered looking at his grocery list. Time is consumed in these decisions. Time is consumed in searching for them. I think back to that woman spoken of in the New Testament who was cumbered with much serving. I imagine her life was extremely simple by comparison with ours. If Martha was cumbered, what about the modern housewife? Jesus said to Martha, "Only one thing is necessary." Necessary, referring to the matters of life and death. Necessary, referring to things which matter for eternity. And Mary, Martha's sister, had chosen that good part, which was to sit at Jesus' feet. Jesus wasn't saying that it wasn't necessary to cook and fix supper. After all, Martha was doing this for Jesus. But the problem was that she was cumbered. She was worried. She was in a frantic frenzy, trying to fix a company meal. Well, I had to sit down and sort and sift through all the things which I had considered necessary, even in the relatively simple life that Mancamo and Mintaka and I were living with the Quechua Indians. It was quite simple there, but to carry things on my own back meant that I would have to reduce it even more. And as I went through this process, I remembered the words of an old missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. It was his principle in life to go through everything he owned every year. If he found things which he had not used for a year, he would get rid of them, because he decided, if I have gotten through this past year without needing this, I can get through the next year. Well, my husband Lars and I have some disagreements about things like this. I am a thrower-awayer. I am constantly reducing and organizing and simplifying my life, and he is continually wanting to hang on to things. And one of the things that we have a running discussion about is an enormous set of crimpers. You farm wives will know what crimpers are, but I'm not so sure the rest of you will. These crimpers are a big, heavy tool which are for castrating hogs. And Lars went to veterinary school, and so he needed them back then. But each time I want to clean out the garage and get rid of those crimpers, I say to him, "Now, darling, do you really believe you're going to have a need for these in the coming year?" His answer is, "I want them. Don't throw them away." Well, this is the world we live in, and Christians need to seek God's help in deciding what to keep and what to give away, because somebody else might need it worse than I do. Why shouldn't I give it to them? We need to have a place for everything and everything in its place. I was going through some old jungle accounts the other day, trying to decide whether to get rid of those papers that bring back all sorts of nostalgic memories. And I came upon 1 year's total expenses, which came to the thundering sum of $600. That's what it cost me to live for a year in the jungle. We are stewards charged with the administration of our affairs, with what has been given to us. We are going to have to give an account to God. Well, as I was trying to sort through what was the irreducible minimum in my life, this is the list that I made for myself. Bible, notebooks, pen, ink, matches, pot for cooking, medicines, one change of clothing, shoes, soap, salt, snake bite kit, toothbrush, comb, needles and thread, knives, insect repellent, calendar, blanket, container for Valerie's milk, powdered milk, plate, cup, spoon, camera, film. Seems like a long list when I read it out loud like that, but it's precious little compared to what we consider necessities in our modern life. When we got there to Alca territory, we found that even these few things complicated life. The Alcas would look at them and say, what's this for? And what's this? And what's it made of? And where did you get it? And what are you going to do with it? Why do you have two of these? Two spoons, for example. Two blouses. Why don't you give me one? It was impossible for me to explain that I needed them. Why do you want it? And I would ask you that question. Is there something that you feel you just simply can't live without? Why do you want it? Is it a necessity? Or is it a matter of pride, greed, insecurity? Lars and I were talking with a man yesterday who says that his wife tells him she has got to have a mink coat. What kind of a mink coat? I said. Full length, he said. Lars said, how many times in a year is she going to wear that? And he said, well, maybe four, maybe five. What is it that makes a woman say she has to have such a thing as a full-length mink coat? I think of the words of Paul in prison. He said, I have not been in actual need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances may be. I know now how to live when things are difficult, and I know how to live when things are prosperous. In general, and in particular, I have learned the secret of eating well or going hungry, of facing either plenty or poverty. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Nevertheless, I am very grateful for the way in which you were willing to share my troubles. He's writing to the Philippians who had helped him financially and in providing for his needs. He said, now I have everything I want. In fact, I am rich. Imagine a man in prison saying that. My God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Can you trust him for that?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.